What is going on, y'all? And thank you so much again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, as always, can't steer the ship alone. I have mi amigo, Big Fizzy. What's happening, Biggin?
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here in studio, Skeleton Studios. It's a beautiful April day. I'm excited about today's show. I'm excited about a lot of shows we've been doing lately.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been interviewed on a couple of them. Some of them have been out and released, and some of them have not yet. I'm not talking about us doing the interviews, but us being interviewed.
True, true.
On other shows. Tell them about the most recent one.
We just did an interview with our buddy, Lon Strickler from Phantoms and Monsters on Arcane Radio. If you haven't seen it, you can watch it on YouTube. You can go find it. The link's on our Facebook page. It's where it's at. I've got that video up. You can go and click through and check it all out. And in fact, that interview was what spurned this episode to come forward about the Pale Crawlers. We were talking about some of that, and it's something that the Rake or the Fresno Crawlers or the Pale Crawlers, but that's kind of what we got into. So I decided to do a whole segment about it today.
Man, that's awesome. It's because this, it does have, a like you were just mentioning, a couple different names.
Yeah.
And this is the way that kind of new cryptids come about, like we were talking about with Lon, about the Glimmer Man, and how really there's only been a few sightings, and then it seems like that's increasing, and also the name.
Yeah.
We didn't know what to call it because everybody was saying it looks like the Predator. But people, we just thought that there would be a better name than calling it the Predator.
Yes.
Because they're going to get the wrong idea. It's going to make it seem extraterrestrial, just like in the movie, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it is. So we started calling it the Glimmer Man, just kind of joking around. Forgot that there was a Steven Seagal movie also called Glimmer Man.
Excellent. I don't know how you could have forgot that.
Excellent movie. All Steven Seagal movies are excellent. I mean, come on.
Snubbed by the Oscars again.
You should go check that out. And so it was really exciting to get on there. I like working with Lon. We work together behind the scenes. What people don't realize is Lon gets exciting stories, especially regarding Glimmer Man, but other things too, and will send them to us and vice versa. Whenever you guys report into us an interesting story, I forward a lot of that stuff over to Lon. And it's a great website. If you're not familiar with Phantoms and Monsters, I suggest you go over there, Google it up and check it out. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that's 100%. It's the best place to do research.
Well, back in the day, it was Lonsite and it was Albert Rosales.
Yes. Yeah.
Albert has since took that website down.
And he and Lon are still good friends. We're friends with Albert. The whole thing, he just doesn't have time because how many did he have on
17,000.
There you go.
Different sightings of flying humanoids.
And he stopped in like 2012, 2013.
Well, I don't remember the exact year, but I do remember we had him on the show and he was talking about probably going to stop it soon. But don't fret, you can go to Amazon and almost all of those sightings are now in book form. I think he has out like 7 or 8 different books. So you might check out Albert Rosales in the book section. There's a lot of those cool sightings.
It's good stuff.
Some of them are short and sweet. Some of them are lengthy, but I mean, it's chronicled year by year. At least that's the way the website was.
Yes, I believe
going back all the way to the early 19th century. And then so you could look up, say you wanted to, for whatever reason, look up all the flying humanoid encounters that he has found from the year 1957. You can go to that area and it'll have them state by state all throughout that year. Very cool.
Yeah. It's the most fun reading too, because it's, you can pick up a lot of little breadcrumbs that link to other things that you didn't think of. And then of course, doing it as long as we've done it now, you go back and see it and you're like, oh, there was another one just recently like this one. And well, then you dive back into more.
And I didn't quite realize at the beginning, like, you know, I heard of a few sightings.
Yeah.
I had no idea there was 17,000
right,
that he's found that were reported. There could be far more, which I'm sure there is, that just haven't been reported.
Yeah. Well, speaking of really interesting and fun stories, what do you got in the news today, Brad?
Well, I got a very cool story that was sent in to us from one of you listeners talking about the recent time slip episode that we dropped last week. Check this out. It says, I was listening to the show today while getting our house ready for the big Easter Day invasion when the story about the weird gas station in Texas came on. I had kind of the same thing happen to me. It was very strange. Now, back when I was a Border Patrol agent, I was sent out to El Paso to bring back a trailer full of equipment in the middle of January. Now, my partner Dave and I were on duty, but not in uniform, since we had to load and unload the trailer ourselves. We stashed our pistols in our bags. We left El Paso en route to San Antonio, and then eventually Laredo. As the sun was going down about halfway between Fort Stockton and Sheffield, we were running low on gas, so we looked for a gas station. As you know, There's not a whole lot out there. You know, you've
That's
been out there.
That's true.
Right?
Very true.
On the side of the road while driving, we saw a sign that said gas station. So we thought, great. We saw this right before an exit. I pulled off I-10 and onto the feeder road, which went up a hill and over an overpass. Now, mind you, there was no side road. There was only one way to go. Once we were on the other side of I-10, the road became narrow, just about one vehicle wide, and it was in very bad shape. Pulling the trailer, we had nowhere to turn around, so we stayed on the road, hoping that the gas station was getting close. The road dead-ended, in the parking lot of a store. It looked like something out of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There was only two pumps, with a bulb hanging down at the end of an electric cord. There were older style pumps with the numbered dials and no pay at the pump available. If not for the gas gauge sitting on empty, I would have turned around and left. Now Dave said he would fill it up while I went in to pay. I walked into the building, opened the door, stepped through, and froze. I felt this cold chill. My hand automatically went to the spot where my holster would have been had I been in uniform. Now, inside the store were five or six men, mostly in overalls, sitting in a folding metal chairs around a black and white TV. The volume was way down, and the picture looked as if it needed a better antenna. They all stared at me with not so much as a word. Now, behind the counter was a skinny guy dressed in only jeans, no shirt, no shoes, and he was missing way too many teeth. I looked at the guys around the TV again, and then back at the guy behind the counter. Then back at the guys by the TV. I felt as if they were sizing me up for some reason, for some nasty event in the near future. That small voice in the back of your head that tries to save you from time to time suggested that I should leave. I handed the guy behind the counter the government credit card and told him that I wanted to fill up the truck. He took the card and looked at it as if he didn't know what it was. Next, he reached under the counter and pulled out one of those old-style credit card machines, the kind that you run back and forth to make an imprint of the raised numbers on the card. He had to look around for the right forms to place in this machine. Just as he was handing me the receipt, my partner Dave came through the door. He froze, and I saw his hand go to the spot where his holster should have been. He backed out the door, and I followed him as quick as I could without running. Now, once back on I-10, we talked about what we had just seen and what we had thought we had run into. We talked it over all the way to San Antonio. A couple of years later, my wife had to go to San Diego. So, as we were driving on the I-10 past Sheffield, I started looking for that exit. There was nothing, even remotely like the overpass that we had used that night. Confused, when I got home, I looked on MapQuest and Google Earth, but could find no trace of the overpass, the road, or the gas station. Love your show, guys. Keep up the great work. Thanks.
That is a great story.
Right? So, kind of like the story that you talked about on the last regular show, a strange occurrence with a gas station. I love these stories where people pull off, they see a hotel or a motel, a restaurant or cafe.
I love the fact that the guy was working there with nothing on but jeans.
That's it.
Just no shoes, no shirt, just no cares, just living it up.
So when it comes to these time slips and stuff, there's times where I think that that was a real business that existed and was just somehow pulled into our time. Or is it like an alternate universe? Like, it's very similar to ours, but not. Because
People act weird, right? They had a credit card machine, but they acted like they didn't know what it was.
But it was very old school. It's the old time. Yeah. Like we used in the 80s.
It's a great, man, it just gets the wheels turning. You know what I'm saying? Like, it really gets you to thinking about what this could possibly be.
And you've been out there in I-10. I mean, you start getting low on gas. You really don't have a lot of options.
No. Yeah, you don't really have a lot of options at all.
So why would that be out on the end of a dead end road? Off of I-10.
Yeah, I don't know. There's nothing out there. And then not to be able to find the one thing that is out there. You would think that that would be something that's very well for all of those that travel anywhere. And you go through all of these very desolate, isolated places. If you find a gas station, it's usually very easy to find online where you go, because that's the only one. That's the needle in a haystack. You would think Yeah. They would find, he could go back and find that needle in a haystack. And when he doesn't, much like many of the time slip stories that they can't find, that's when that cold chill sets in.
Crazy.
Speaking of crazy, I've got another one for you. So this story comes from a listener who wrote in that says, I've seen something I can only assume was a fairy elf or the like. We, being my friend and my mother and me, were house sitting in this beautiful condo in the forest. Now, this forest was no doubt magical in some way. It just had this energy to it. Now, we were having breakfast one morning, and I suddenly see a small person, the size of like a six-year-old child, run through the field next to the house. That disappears behind a tree that was too thin for it to hide behind. My friend and my mother were sitting opposite of me, so they didn't see it. Now, I tell my mom that I saw something, and she says, I think I saw it too a few days ago. Yeah. My friend suggests that we both move to a different room and draw what we had seen so we could compare.
All right, good idea.
Great idea. Now, mind you, so far, we only know that we had both seen something run across the field, not what it looked like. So my mother and I both drew the exact same creature, a small human with adult proportions. So not a child. Now, it was dressed in all white clothes that looked like pajamas. Now, my encounter had looked my way and smiled and laughed, while my mother's had its face turned completely away. Now, this thing was wearing a long nightcap that trailed behind it, and it was faster than a human that size could possibly be. Now, we called the owner of the house to say we saw a spirit in the field, and she says, oh, the fairy in white, huh? Yeah, it's attached to that tree out front, that thin one. That's the wedding tree my husband and I planted when we got married. It has no bad vibes. So it says, I think it might have just been the protector of the tree.
That's cool.
But we've not seen it since. So there you have a story of a fae. Now, I do like the fact that where they said that it run behind that little skinny tree,
yep,
like here, runs behind that little skinny and then vanishes. Again, it's like it controls a portal. Is it going into that tree? Right. I always think it's like a screen, like those old roll down windows, right, or a pull out, yeah, screen.
Yeah.
You pull it out and step in behind the tree and then you're gone.
Shut it, right?
Yeah, it's closed. And that's what it is.
I like the description of that. It was proportionate to like a human. It reminds me of that little hunter story,
yep,
you told.
Yep.
Where, you know, they looked like what's the show? The Indian in the Cupboard?
Yes.
Kind of,
yes,
like that. It doesn't look like a baby. It looks like an adult human.
Yes.
But only very.
Yeah.
Only very short and slender.
And it's also that, you know, they were talking about a six-year-old. That's still a pretty good-sized kid, you know, moving around. So it's not like it's a small, like you wouldn't see it or like it could hide in the garden. A six-year-old's not going to hide in the garden. So they are legitimately seeing something of size, proportionate-wise, that should never be able to hide.
Right.
And it's got the nightcap trailing along. It's just awesome. It's just I love the fae stories.
What a relief to the person calling. You're like, dude, I got to call the landlord. I got to talk about their spirit, right, you know, and like, yeah, you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
Let's see. How do I put this gently? I think we saw a spirit the other, yeah, day, and they were like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. The one in white.
Y'all got to drip.
Like relieved. Like, holy cow.
Y'all got a stopped up toilet, dripping faucet? Nah, man, we saw a fairy. You'd be like, oh man, that ain't nothing.
Yeah, that'd be a difficult phone call to make. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, let's jump into the main event, folks. When we get back from the break, you're going to listen to some really creepy and some really unsettling stories of the Pale Crawlers. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. I know some of y'all jumped on the other night with Kyle and I while we were on Lon's podcast from Phantoms and Monsters. It was all live on YouTube. If you haven't seen it or didn't know we were on it, you can go to our Facebook page. There's a link on there and you'll be able to see what we talked about. And we discussed a lot at length about the Glimmer Man. And then we got into a little bit there towards the end of the stories of the Pale Crawlers. Now, I wanted to more elaborate on that. Kyle and I have been discussing this for the last couple of days, just ever since being on the show, getting some different ideas about it. because it is funny. You know, we've discussed the crawlers, we've discussed the rakes, we've talked about a lot of these things, but it does seem to be amping up in reports. I don't know if it is, if it's because more people are actively looking, or if because, or at least let's say more people, I know this is weird to say, are paying attention, or that it truly is increasing in frequency. And so you've got to go back. Now, people will tell you that the story of the rake and how all this started on Creepypasta. Other people will tell you, you know, it was a story from elsewhere. There's all these stories about other stories, right? And some, you know exactly where they come from. Some you may or may not. But it is funny that people, when these stories are written out and then they get fleshed out, they kind of tie them into things that were much, much older. Like we end up finding out that there may have been folklore in an area 300 years ago that referred to something like this. So you didn't have the original idea. Maybe they read it. You know, who knows? But I think they really, when I say they, I'm talking about the crawlers, the pale crawlers. They didn't seem to really, I guess, jump to the forefront until a video popped up from November of 2007. And this video came from Fresno, California. And this is where like the story of the Fresno crawler started. Now, there's a few videos of it. I think there was three in all. The original is just one. I think there's been two more videos, not of this place, but I think one was in Yosemite. There were several tales that you could look at. Now, some of the videos look, of course, 100% hoaxed, right? You can just tell by looking like, yeah, that's cute. That's it. Then some you just really can't explain. It just leaves you scratching your head. So the surveillance footage that I'm talking about is the homeowner had a camera installed to record the front yard there at their house because someone had tried to steal some things out of their front yard. So, of course, you know, and this is back in 07. It's not near as easy now. You mean it was easy then, but it's not near as easy now to put a camera up, right? And you just got it on your phone, the whole deal. So this person goes and actually gets a good security system installed and all of this. Well, on the night this all goes down, the person that owns the home's laying there, homeowner's asleep, and starts hearing his dogs barking. Which is usually, you know, a dead giveaway for those that have dogs. You know, if you have property and you just know, right? They're just the noise they make. You just know. And so he woke up, but he said what was different was the sound. The way the dog was barking wasn't the usual way the dog barked. So he gets up, he goes over here, he starts looking for the security monitor, gets on there. It's, of course, recording. I'm not sure it was recording because I believe he grabs his video camera to record the video monitor screen, if that tells you anything. And what was on it was these creatures that moved across his yard, right? Stay off my lawn. These things moved across the lawn about 2 or 3 feet tall. And what it showed was very odd. Long-limbed, almost, man, the renditions that I've seen almost looks like an owl wearing pants. Does it make sense? Like they're pulled way up, right? Like pawpaw pants pulled up above the belly button, like you're up above the belly, right? So that's kind of what these things looked at, but they gained the attention of the television series Fact or Faked. So they go to video it, or to go investigate it. They go through this whole thing and they try to recreate it. They bring their own cameras. They try to make this whole thing work. They can't do it, right? They can't really recreate it. They don't explain it. It leaves out of there. It's unexplainable. We really don't know what they've pulled off there. And like I said, there's a few other ones that come out of the Fresno, California and whatnot, other videos, but there don't seem to be anything to them. But this video seemed to have sparked the interest in these crawler things. So it's very weird that one sighting can all of a sudden make people notice, like everybody takes notice. And this seems to be the one. There was a recent tale, a story that was, I'd done some digging and I've had some sent to us and, you know, spoke to Lon and all this. This one's a very recent one. And I'm going to read this to you because this takes place here in Texas, not far from where I live. actually, just actually outside of Houston, Texas, is where this goes down. This person writes, this was from a Reddit account, and they wrote a story, and it says they just made a throwaway account from a concerned mother. And I don't know what it is, right? Moms, just, y'all women are on a different level when it comes to, like, being able to know, right? When something, we always say, like, it's, y'all just have, women are specifically more empath, I think, than men. But so this is what it talks about. It says, my son's 14 and his two best friends are 13 and 14. And we live in a small town considered semi-rural, and we're over an hour outside of Houston. Now, they are country kids. Let me remind you. And it says they fish. They explore the creeks around the neighborhoods. And, you know, almost as they do all this is almost as much as they play their video games. The boys are really into fishing and camping and really got into bushcraft. Now, I'm going to take a step aside there. If you don't know what bushcraft is, just do a quick Google search or pull it up on YouTube. You can watch a lot of guys. It's more like survival living. Like, you just kind of go out and live old school, right? But it's really cool. It's a really fun, it's good things to learn. I'm a big fan. So the mother goes on writing, just really outdoorsy teens who keep out of trouble and they go fishing a lot. Just good, honest kids. Says our neighborhood is about 150 acre home sites. So it's covered, I'm assuming, with homes. It says the smallest being 1 acre, the largest around 2 acres. So it doesn't, or I mean, I'm sorry, around 20 acres. So it doesn't sound like it's too congested. There are a lot of woods, tall pine trees, and creeks. The neighborhood is basically surrounded by wooded floodplain where nothing can be built and a lot of intertwining creeks that flood in heavy rain. There are literally thousands of deer. The soil is sandy loam, and the height above sea level may be 600 feet, so no caves that I'm aware of. Around 2 months ago, my son came home and told me that he had seen a glimpse of something in the woods. All three boys were at the part of the creek that they had not frequented much before. My son glanced up and saw the nude, unusual, light, grayish-skinned back of an extremely thin humanoid. It seemed to be 4 to 5 foot tall and moving away from them, slouching, moving in a weird, distinct way on all fours with really long arms. He directed his friend's attention to it, but it was just a glimpse as it moved away from them behind some brush next to a large, thick old tree and just seemed to be gone. They didn't hear it move off or see anything else. The reason he felt comfortable telling me is because I've already warned him that there were things living in the woods that we share this planet with. My great uncle, who lived to 83, spent his entire retirement deer hunting with little more than binoculars on his property in north central Texas. He clocked literally decades sitting in tree stands in the woods, and once, I was in my early 20s, he told me that there were things in these woods we don't even know about, but they're there. I'm certain he had seen things or creatures. Well, I passed the verbal knowledge and warning on to my outdoor-loving son around the age of 12, in the hopes that it would help him stay calm and not fear nature forever after he'd ever seen anything like that in these woods. Well, today my son and 13-year-old friend were back fishing the creek, just the two of them. They'd been exploring in the sandy creek bottom, crouched over, looking at things in the water. They got hungry, so they packed up their small gear items, like a minnow net and their Easter candy trash, and they headed home. My son stood up while putting on his day pack and locked eyes with this gray-skinned thing that was watching them. It was peeking out from behind a tree, and as my son saw it, he said it ducked its head behind the tree impossibly fast. My husband and I were outside of our house when he rode up on his bike. The creek area is accessible from one of the neighborhood cul-de-sacs. His pants were fully drenched and he looked like he had fallen in or scrambled through the water in sandy banks pretty good. I sent him in the shower, suspecting nothing of the kind, distracted by my need to begin preparing Easter dinner. Later, when it was just us, he told me what had happened. The thing was watching my child, my only child. He had told his friend that he had just seen it watching them, and they immediately left the creek area. His friend, clearly being able to hear the truth in the tone of my son's voice and not wanting to stick around. But yet again, he described it as looking to be 4 to 5 feet tall, and he said it looked like it had no mouth. It is small enough that it hasn't terrified him, just kind of disturbed him. All three boys have told me the creek in that area feels creepy, but being teenagers, they seem to get curious again. Overcome their hesitations, and then they go back. Even though I request, they fish elsewhere. So that's a very concerned mother, it sounds, y'all. And sounds like this is going on right now. This is happening as we talk. This boy might be catching glimpses or somewhat interacting with one of these pale crawlers. So if y'all find out, y'all listening to all this, don't mess around down there, all right? Don't go down there playing around with the pale crawlers. Here's another one. It says, did my boyfriend see a crawler? So this happened about 2 years ago in kind of upstate New York. I say kind of because I'm closer to New York City, but outside of Westchester. It has woodsy areas and inner city areas. Now, before we lived together, we both lived with our parents, and it was about a 15 to 20 minute walk if you took the regular sidewalk, but there's abandoned railroads that basically create a shortcut. These tracks to me are scary because a lot of homeless people live there. Not that I'm afraid of homeless people, but I don't want to bump into one on abandoned train tracks in the night. There's also been violent crimes that happened on them, and a semi-famous serial killer has even killed on these tracks in the early 90s. Now, basically, as a kid, I was told to stay away from it for obvious reasons, so fear of this railroad was inflicted in me at a young age. Anyway, he was walking home from my mom's one night and calls me, breathing heavily and freaking out, telling me he saw a skinwalker. I had literally no idea what these were until he told me, and I honestly thought he was making things up. His description? Hunched over, naked, and pale. Big, piercing, reflective yellow eyes, and very, very skinny. His height was about 5'8". Regular sized head, mouth was regular, his arms and legs were longer than his body. He was naked with absolutely no clothing on. No hair, literally almost identical to Voldemort from Harry Potter or the Lord of the Rings Gollum. Now, it made a deep clicking sound that almost sounded like a growl. And when the thing noticed that he noticed it, well, it let out a huge shriek, at which point he ran the rest of the way home. I didn't believe him, but he's a tough guy, and I could hear the fear in his voice. So I was concerned, and I did some research. Well, maybe 2 days later, in the day, we were walking in a different but close area of the tracks and found a pretty much newborn baby deer with a piece of its backside pretty much torn out, like something grabbed it and ripped a chunk of its body out. It was sad and terrifying because there's nothing in my area that would have done that, and birds would have picked at its entire body, not just a small part. A day or so later, the entire body of the baby deer was gone. That's the moment I believed him. And when I started joining communities on crawlers and cryptid creatures. So that's what it took to convince him. All it took was the corpse of a baby deer. So what do y'all think this could be? They're describing Voldemort, which is always funny to me, right? The no nose, just the little holes, real pale, bald. I mean, aside from the no beard, it pretty much disguises, well, it doesn't really describe me. I'm short and fat and pale and bald. So, yeah, absolutely the exact opposite. So I get it. Anyhow, I don't know how you could mistake anything for these. We always bring that up. You'd always try to rule out what someone could have made a mistake and thought they had seen. But when you see a pale, hunched back, naked, yellow-eyed creature with long arms and long legs, what animal could you mistaken for that, right? And if you're on the tracks, you know, you're assuming you're there on the outskirts of town or even in downtown and you see that, what animal in the city y'all live in would look like that? I don't have anything like that living here. And as far as I know, homeless people, just when you go homeless, don't somehow change their appearance and elongate their appendages. But I don't know. You know, I have no idea. Now, there's another one. When I say another one, I got a stack of them here. And these are all the whole idea of the rake or like the pale crawler. I don't know why it's such a terrifying thing. Why is the idea? Like, I remember I think I brought it before, the Metallica video. Was it Inner Sandman? Isn't that the one with the old man in it? Or no, it's Nothing. Oh, heck, I can't even remember now. But one of them with the old man, and it's like it's always supposed to be pale white, and these things, for some reason, it just makes us uneasy. So I jumped to this one from Virginia. I work as a paramedic in a rural area of Virginia, and this entails a lot of backwoods mountain roads late at night. And this encounter happened around the summer of 2016. One night, around 2 or 3 in the morning, I was driving back from a call and was traveling up a road I have been up many times before. My partner and I were just listening to music and making the best of course, being at work. As I rounded an upward slanted curve, the headlight of my unit hit something that still gives me chills to this day as I write this. This creature was almost in a position that reminded me of a catcher in baseball, as if it was squatting beside the road, maybe 10 foot, in a small grassy patch. It was so pale and white. I distinctly remember its arms and legs being so long, just unnaturally long and slender. Its fingers were the same. If I had to estimate its height, I would say it was easily 6 foot tall. Its head was facing away from me. I honestly did not get a good look to see any facial features. I literally was shocked. I didn't speak a word. I just turned to my partner who was in the passenger seat, and the look on his face told me I was not seeing an imaginary thing. I said to him, "Please tell me you saw that." Well, he did, with a number of colorful words. It may have been 50 yards away when we agreed to turn around and look again. When we got back to the same place, it was nothing. I honestly didn't have the courage to get out of the ambulance to check. My partner did pull out a spotlight we have in our units to check the woods, and again, nothing. Now, I can't stress enough how pale, bony, and slender this creature was. It was like the Pale Man from Pan's Labyrinth, but I could see every bone in its body, and I only got a 2 to 3 second look at this creature. Thanks, K. Well, again, K, it sounds like K describes a rake, but this, so we've got the same thing now. Now we're out in the woods. We're out in the country in the mountains going up. We have a person reporting seeing one on the train tracks. Possibly, we don't know that it ate the deer. Could have just been a coincidence. It could have been, the deer could have been hit by something. You know, there's all these explanations. But then again, maybe that's what it was. Maybe it was eating the deer. And maybe this one that was seen by the ambulance driver was sitting there eating on something themselves. I don't know. But I have another one for y'all. It says, "I am still at a loss for words to explain how scary this is. Most all because it is no doubt something not human or any known animal. This is taking place nightly because a close friend's home not far away, that's where it started last fall. The area is in North Florida, in a very rural area, and behind my friend's house is wild bamboo that has completely overgrown the land surrounding the ruins of an old house that literally collapsed or imploded somewhere approximately 15 years ago. These things have not only taken over back there, but have been seen by several of us, but never in the daylight. This started with a mound appearing that wasn't there prior to last fall, that was fairly large size and built entirely of heavy debris from the house and broken bamboo, which alone is scary considering no person can break that in such a way due to its strength. Since it first appeared, this mound has consistently expanded in width and height to an alarming size and has several cave openings in it. Now they have dug pretty large-sized tunnels going underneath it. Now I'm concerned, as one of them has been seen coming out of the bamboo and underneath her house, under the addition in the back where her dogs at night will not go alone and act purely terrified even though still inside the house. Now we now know that's because these dogs have known this thing, or more than one has been under her kitchen floor nightly for who knows how long. The land around the old house has a very strong and bothersome vibe to it alone, and now this. What we have seen is a very thin and very pale figure, which doesn't appear to have normal legs, and very elusive and hostile feelings, aside from very sinister looking yellow glowing eyes. I haven't seen, or has anyone else, any other facial features. So what do we do? I want to get some documentation of this, which I do have pictures of this structure they built over time, but none of them, as none of us will dare attempt to, even go back out her back door at night as to the edge of the bamboo ruins, so we're not getting close enough to take really good photos. Thanks, E. Well, E, first of all, what you just, I don't even want to say this, but when I'm reading the description of that, this mound, it first of all sounds like a beaver dam, right? Like it's damming up a little creek or it's damming up a little river. We don't know what it's, but when you're talking about it being full and expanding and then there being little tunnels maybe in and out of it, yeah, I guess you could, it could have easily been a beaver, you know, some nutria. I don't know. It could have been something like that. Heck, all the snakes in Florida may have all those gone, so I have no idea. But the terrifying idea that this person claims that they have been building this mound back in this brush, you can't really get back there to it, and that it also has been living under this woman's kitchen, under her house, coming and going, that right there is unsettling enough. That's one of those things that, like, there needs to be a for sale sign or, I don't know, a road flare and a can of gasoline. Like, I can't tell you what to do, but do not mess around with those things. I think that's how you end up going missing, too. Like, that's how you go missing, right? Check out this one. It says, I live in Wyoming, Michigan, about a walking distance away from Resurrection Cemetery. And if you look it up on Google Maps, you will see it has a tree line surrounding it. Well, the tree line closest to the woods is where I've seen it almost all times. I have multiple stories, but I'll try to share only the most haunting ones. The first encounter I had was with my sister. She was going to take a walk through the cemetery, and it was late at night, and I had this gut instinct to go with her, so I did. We decided to play Pokemon Go because, well, why not? I didn't like the forested area around it, especially this big pine tree visible by a maintenance path that led to the crematorium. I was scared out of my mind, but we went towards the crematorium anyway to get a Pokestop and a Jigglypuff. I have no idea what that is. I might have to try one, though. We had to go so close that we were on the maintenance path, but the nicer cobblestone half. It was when I looked to my right that I first saw it. Hunched over, it looked like a normal human being, but being more terrifying. It appeared to have seen me too because it stood up. I could tell it was tall. I'd estimated about 7 foot in height. I told my sister to run, and we ran home, where I proceeded to pray in my room for a while. My mom had a sighting as well. She had mentioned seeing something gray hunched in the top of a pine tree I mentioned earlier, and that it was watching us. When she looked back, it was gone. Safe to say, we went home early that day. I consider myself slightly psychic, and when I closed my eyes, sometime around the time that my mother saw it, I saw two gaping holes staring back at me. My mom described the creature, and I recognized it as something I'd drawn a few weeks before. I've burned this image, but I've now redrawn it. My most recent sighting, and the one that kept me from going back to the cemetery, happened in broad daylight with a friend. I'll keep his name hidden for privacy, but we decided to go to said cemetery after class, college program for high school freshmen, it says here. We wandered around the cemetery for hours until my arm started hurting, and I decided that we should go home for a snack. As we walked, my anxiety heightened. I told him about the crawler, but I suspected that I wouldn't have to worry about it as it was daylight. As we were walking along the sidewalk about to reach the tree line, I saw a dead squirrel or dog arm in the middle of the sidewalk. I looked up and I saw the crawler run straight into the tree line. It was gray and it ran on all fours rather than two legs. At that point, my friend and I ran. M. Yeah, no joke. I would have ran too. So again, we've got it as eating something. I like how they said a dog arm. Gosh, that'd be terrible. You don't want to get your dog's arm tore off by a crawler. And if it's a squirrel, that's a tree rat, right? Sorry if you love squirrels. Again, what could it be? Pale. All right, let's shoot this out there too. You got to easily say, okay, well, this person could have easily seen something like a white dog, right? A white dog. But when you listen to how this person describes what it was and the way it, all fours rather than two, okay, well, then that tells me that what they saw didn't look like it was designed to run on two legs. Why would you mention it? If you had seen a horse for the very first time, would you be blown away like, man, it runs on all four legs? Why didn't it run on two? No, you wouldn't, because you would hypothetically already know what four-legged animals look like. When you saw that run on four legs, instinctually you would be like, yeah, it's running the way it should run, right? But if you saw people running on all fours, well, you would be like, well, that's weird, because that shape and that body design and that leg length and that spine length, those things usually go on upright animals, right? Two-legged. Bipedal creatures, not necessarily four-legged. So those little slips is what you look for. Here's a quick tidbit. When you're talking to people and trying to decide if they're going to be full of crap, you have to look for the idiosyncrasies or the connections that they make without knowing they make it, right? The way the police do it, the way everybody does it. This is one of those things. When you hear someone describe how something runs and they initially say that, it's because without them telling you, they're telling you. And that's kind of what this is. Without this person telling you that it's not made to run on four legs, they're telling you that way. So here's another little jump crazy story. It says, I have recently been hired by my neighbor to do some landscaping. Well, good on you. When I was out in the back of his yard dumping leaves, dirts, and sticks into a pile in the woods, I heard something rustling by the trees off to my left. I turned towards the sound and see this 6 or 7 foot tall bone white thing running away from me back into the woods. It couldn't have been a bird, because the pine trees it ran through were too big for any bird native to Nova Scotia, to even move. So, what is up with this? Some giant Nova Scotian bird or a... First of all, how would you even tie that together? Like, I'm crazy, right? Like, y'all listening to this. If y'all are listening to this, y'all are eccentric as well, right? That's what makes us all together. We're open-minded and a little wild. But would you think, oh, man, what is that thing? A 7-foot-tall bird? Nah, can't be. I'm like, bro, I'm more afraid of a 7-foot-tall bird than I would be of a pale crawler. I'll take my chances with a crawler. I know what a big bird can do. I want no part of that. But again, in tree lines, what is it about now? Tree lines. So we've got a few sightings of tree lines. Now, this doesn't seem that it was eating anything, right? And the last one wasn't eating anything. What was strange about the last one, though, was that there are tales of it at the crematorium, right? There's a crematorium there. There's a cemetery. Like, yeah, there's going to be some evil stuff bouncing around there, yo. Yeah, crazy bouncing around there. So listen to this real quick. I'm going to give you one more story here. It says, I live in South Georgia, and I leave work around 10:45 p.m., riding my bike for about 30 minutes to get home on a dimly lit road. Now, before I take the long ride home, I usually stop at my girlfriend's house, which is around a 10-minute ride or so from my work. On one particular night, my phone died once I reached her house. And I was about to leave, we both, you know, felt a slight feeling of dread. She wished me safe on my ride, and I began the ride home. Well, just a little down the road, the light on the front of my bike died, which meant I was flying mostly blind. Dude, this is already starting out bad, right? Dead phone, light went out. Bro, this, just go back. I stopped and turned on some small little lights on the spokes of my front wheel so cars could see me for safety reasons. I know the road to my house very well, so I wasn't too worried about my light going out at the time. My neighborhood sits behind a gas station and a restaurant with a spacious parking lot on the other side of the road. Another important detail is that the sidewalk is on the side of the restaurant. So as I was riding very close to the entrance of my neighborhood, I saw a large group of people standing in the parking lot. I rode by not saying a word. I was startled when I heard one of them yell something that sounded like, "Hey!" It was in a loud, forceful tone. I began to bike faster after hearing this. I didn't even look both ways or stop in the front of the road. Rather, I just barreled through to the other side. As I looked behind me as I was entering my neighborhood, I was horrified to see that the crowd of people were all chasing me on bikes. Terrified, I sped up even more through my neighborhood. I was very scared because I essentially had a beacon on me with the spoke lights on my bike. My neighborhood doesn't have many straight roads, so I tried to lose them as best I could. I'm a very competent biker, so I managed to turn some corners very fast, and every time I looked back, I saw less of them chasing me. After making a very precarious turn onto one of the straight, long roads in my neighborhood, I rode as fast as I could. My house is only one turn away from the end of the road, so I tried to book it to that end. When I was a decent distance down the road, I took one last look behind me and was horrified. There was this huge thing chasing me. It was very lanky and tall. My guess is around 7 foot tall. And it had a tall face. It also has very pronounced long knuckles. I could not make out much detail other than that, but I definitely remember its pale white skin. It was running at me faster than I've ever seen anything go. I was going the fastest I've ever gone on my bike yet, and it was still catching up to me on foot. It looked like it was exerting itself a lot by running that fast. It was leaning heavily into its run, and its arms were moving quickly beside it with its hands and fists. I think you're supposed to relax your hands when you run. Just a little heads up for all you pale crawlers. I let out an audible yelp due to the immense terror I was feeling at the point. I turned the final time onto a smaller street and then turned into my driveway. I jumped off my still-moving bike and threw open the door, which was luckily unlocked, and ran inside. When my mom went to see what was up, I told her that there was something chasing me outside. She ran to go lock the door and heard a noise that sounded like something saying, "Hey," outside. My mom later reported it to the police, and they patrolled the neighborhood at night for about 2 weeks. It was recently that my girlfriend and I were talking about this again, and we realized that the thing was running faster than any human possibly could. So, she suggested it could be a night crawler. So, I thought I'd post this story. S. Holy moly, right? So, again, the mother even reports something that he had not told her. The fact that she heard, "Hey." So, is what this person saw? Is what he saw? Was it truly a group of people that was outside this restaurant, all jumped on bikes and started chasing him? Or was it this thing? And maybe it was projecting that appearance. And as it tired and weakened over the chase, it lost the ability to cloud this person's mind or to inject this look upon them. And then it could see it for its true form. Or were these people chasing him to try to help stop this creature? Whatever it was that they saw, maybe him ride by, it chased him, they gave chase. There's so many questions I have here. But for those of you that have jumped over onto YouTube and have watched The Cryptid Classroom, you may remember one of the stories that I talk about called the Meme Gwashi. Well, the reason I bring up the Meme Gwashi is that's an Ojibwa term, and that was folklore from the Ojibwa people. Well, the Cree also have the same kind of folklore for a Manigishi, and it is a race of trickster people. And this is how they are described: semi-humanoid, very thin, lanky arms and legs with large heads, which could be long faces, minus a nose. And according to these tales, they are along the same mythology as the little people of the woods. All of these, like, these things have been here for quite some time. And it is said that these people live between the rocks in the rapids of rivers. So if you live there, maybe they live in the rocks, they live in the bamboo mounds, right? They live in the dark areas of town. You're talking about the brush, the rubble, the old abandoned houses. Would be very easy for something like this to live along like that. But it is all trickster behavior. And what the Cree feared the most was they believed that that's what caused the drownings when canoes would go through the rapids. If they got pulled under in funny or strange ways, or even not rough rapids, just flowing rougher water, and then the canoe would go under, that the Manigishi was what pulled them under. So, very thin, human-like, lanky arms and legs, big heads, minus the nose. Sounds like they're describing pale crawlers from all the way back then. Folks, I hope you enjoyed this. We're going to take a quick break. Come back. Me and Kyle will discuss some of this madness. If you yourself have a wild pale crawler story, please send it to me. I'll catch y'all on the flip side. Peace. Here we rocking. What did you think?
Man, I love those stories. I don't know. I don't know what they're seeing. And like I said, it goes by many names, but I believe it's all the same phenomenon of people seeing this creepy stuff crawling and lurking around, whether it's on the side of the road, whether it's under an overpass,
yeah,
whether it's on a dark alley, whether it's in the woods, whether it's in a cemetery, whether it's in their own home. Similar descriptions. And I know there's going to be people out there that are like, hey, look, you idiot. The rake was invented on creepypasta as a story. I'm like, yeah, I understand that was.
Was.
But there have been sightings going on long before creepypasta was even a thing of what these people are seeing. They didn't know what to call it.
Yeah.
So now they call it the rake because of the popularity of that story. But it goes by many names.
Well, and how do we not know that the person that made it up hadn't read or already done the research, sure, into these old tales? Yeah. A real quick, too. The Fresno crawlers don't look anything like a rake. That's what's so weird about it is, like, I joke about, they look like an owl wearing pants. That's what they look like. But they're the only white humanoid type thing that you could really attach it to. So could it have been something completely different than the rakes? Yes. But then these stories of these, just like we said, these emaciated looking, yeah, leathery skinned, I don't know.
Gollum-like.
Yep. I hope y'all enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. I love those stories. I don't ever want to see one.
No.
So if you've seen one, you have any tales, send us the email. You got a great story, call the show.
Yes, it's 888-393-2793.
Holler at us. Let us know about it. We'll play it on the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
If it's really, really awesome, we're going to call you. We'll dig into it. We'll really dig into it.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be something crazy. So, yeah. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed it. I had a great time.
I did too.
It was fun. So what do you got going on, homie? Like I said earlier, I have to leave. I will be gone. By the time this gone, I'll be out of the state. So
yeah, you're going up to North Carolina.
Going to North Carolina. Going to run up there. I'm going to get to go see Mr. Micah Hanks.
That's cool.
Get to go check that all out. But yeah, we're going to.
You're going to see the Brown Mountain Lights, perhaps?
Actually, yes. We're going to Brown Mountain. We're going to the Biltmore. I'm doing a little running around up there and checking some stuff out. So it'll be fun. I've never been there, so
man,
it'll be interesting.
Sounds awesome. Well, I'm going to be just working, and we got a baseball tournament. So typical stuff we do during the spring.
Yep, normal spring activity.
Doing some spring cleaning. My wife and I were cleaning out the garage the other day. It's amazing how much stuff gets stuffed in there over the winter.
Yeah.
My kids, I think they just throw all their toys, bikes, whatever, and it just builds and multiplies.
You're not going to tell them about that big bucket that sits in there in the garage that's got nothing but like play swords and hammers and like bow staffs and like it
guns,
looks
weapons.
It's a barrel of play weapons that you can't reach around. Like it's so heavy, I don't think you could pick it up. And if you get too venture too close, when one of the boys used to be like the story I've always told of the little brood when they jumped me. Now Luke's the one that you got to watch. Somebody may pick up a weapon and come at you with a foam samurai sword.
Man, and Luke has been loving doing the Cameron's Cryptid class intros and outros. Yeah. He talks about it all the time. He tells all his buddies. He's a YouTube star and everything.
Little fizzy.
It's kind of funny. He's wanting to start producing merch, like little fizzy shirts and stuff.
Yep.
I said, well, you know, maybe we'll see further on down the road.
Little fizzy.
Speaking of the road, he's got to get on the road. Please safe out there. Everybody take care. Give somebody a hug. Make sure you wear a mask when you do so. Wash your hands. Stay out of trouble. I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.